I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Is the Nightside Project.
Look at the size of that boy's head. I'm not kidding, it's like an orange on a toothpaste.
Nightside on KSL. A limited edition summer season.
It's summer now. They told me this would be temporary.
It cannot end soon enough.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
Welcome back. Just a few segments left here on the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Carey. Thanks so much for jumping in on the show tonight. Here's a text we got, Alex. Here's an idea for you and your son.
Oh.
If you're looking to take your 12-year-old son someplace, forget the plane and take the train, Amtrak, from here to Denver. It's very scenic. It will give you and your son a memorable time. That actually would be a lot of fun. That is a great idea. You should think about that.
I don't want to get on a train.
Why not?
I hate to be the guy who's acting like he's too cool. Because my thought was it was like a 23.5 hour.
Yeah, the journey is the thing. The journey is the thing.
Yeah, I guess. But my son's longest trip to Hogwarts is going to be the worst trip we've ever taken if we do that. This will be like, hey, so we're still in this train car together, buddy. And I don't have any chocolate frogs for you and no Dementors outside the window. Sorry. I don't know. I get it. From here to Denver is what then? 9 hours? 12? It'd probably be like 15.
I don't know. On a train, how far is it in a car?
Like 8 hours. Yeah, so I would assume it'd be longer.
If only there was a way to find out.
There's not.
Stand by.
Here it comes, Brandon. The old Google during the middle of the show trick.
Let's see. So Denver, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
All right, directions.
You can't put in the UTA route. You're not going to find a UTA route.
No. Okay? No. I'm not doing that. I'm doing the, let's see here.
Yeah.
The train.
Mm. Yeah, man. I'm standing by. I'm still waiting for this.
Oh, no, because it's giving me the Greyhound.
Also bad. Also something I don't want to do. All right. You look at that, and I'm going to get to the next portion of the show here. Ethan, okay. I wanted to bring up a couple things here. All right?
All right.
So I saw this article, and I thought it was an interesting take on it. So the article says how the child care crisis will distort the economy for a generation. An economist says that 20 to 30 years, you're going to feel the effects of the collapse of the child system.
The child care system?
The child care system, yes. And part of it is because it is making you, the whole thing is that this is forcing you, parents are already exhausted from round-the-clock child care while also trying to work from home. The biggest thing is, though, Ethan, is that this is really going to affect the stay-at-home moms who are working, like this, the working moms who are trying to do, or not, sorry, not the stay-at-home moms, the working moms who are trying to figure out how to balance that, right?
Yeah.
And single moms, forget about it. I mean, this is going to be a really, really difficult thing to do because if your kids are going to be at home, I'll tell you what you're not able to do is figure out a way for them to be watched all day while you can be at work, because watching kids is not what we're talking about. We're talking about monitoring your kids' education now while you're at home,
yeah.
Which has been an impossible task for many of us.
It's very, very difficult.
It's super hard. So they talk about that being like a big fall. It's going to have as much of an economic impact on us because we're going to have to say, well, I've got to cut my hours because I have to be home with my kids. Well, I've got to make this economic sacrifice. They say that some people will not, it says the work of recovering from it will not just end because we have a vaccine, even if things start to get even better going forward. And the thing that this economist says that the child care crisis on women's outcomes is going to be felt over the next decade plus. I try to think about what it would look like for us to be able to get. And here's the other thing. Like, let's just say child care during the day is obviously number one, trying to figure out what you're going to do with your kids while you're trying to get work done. And while they're trying to be, you know, in school. And so the reality is you end up saying working something out with your boss where you take fewer hours, or in some cases, maybe the mom who's been working at home or somebody who's been working a part-time job just ends up quitting that. And those are economic situations that families are needing more than ever. So
right.
She says, when you talk about upward mobility, this puts families not just in a different trajectory. It's not just about losing 2 or 3 years of income. It's about being on a lower earnings trajectory for the rest of your life.
Jeez, that's
how
terrible.
How depressing is that, man? I think about where we are right now and I go, here's the other thing. My kids and I need the break from each other, you know?
Yeah.
And my wife needs a break from them too. And that's not I know where they're parents. And so you can save the text that say, well, you don't want to be around your kids. That's just because you're a lazy parent. I'll tell you what it is it's not normal for us to be around each other, all five of our kids and mom and dad, on top of each other at home, what is going to be now 5 out of the 7 days a week. It's going to be really extremely hard from sun up to sun down. Not having that mix up of somebody who's not your mom and dad trying to teach you. That made a huge impact on me. I listened in class because it wasn't my mom and dad teaching me.
Yeah, you're right about that. There are some things that there are a lot of things actually that other people besides your parents are going to be better at teaching you. When I first took my son skiing when he was very, very young. And, you know, at the time I'd been doing a lot of skiing. I was an excellent skier. And I thought, oh, man, I'm going to be able to teach him how to ski. This would be great. And it was within the first 5 minutes that I knew I was not going to be able to teach my son to ski. I knew it. I knew it in 5 minutes.
Well, my whole thing is my wife has been a certified ski instructor. And it's just teaching our kids is the worst, you know, because they're like, whatever, mom. I bet you could ski, mom.
I'm not doing that. The pizza's stupid. It's not even like a real pizza anyway.
You can't even eat it. Oh, my goodness. All right. 57500 is a text number. So I wanted this to be a safe place for people to express their frustration, because the thing that people do, Ethan, is if I complain about having my kids at home all day, people just go, oh, it's because you've just been using the school system as your personal babysitter. And I can't really argue with it except for this is what we have had as how our society has been held up.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair.
You're a bad dad.
You're just a lazy parent, dude.
Because you don't want a daycare. You're just going to farm out the daycare to your kid. That's not what we do. We have this whole thing planned out, and coronavirus has ruined it. I'm at work. Oh boy, you want to take that?
No. I don't know.
Look, I'm just going to say this.
I don't know anyone in Kaysville.
It's 2020.
So.
It's 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Who has their phone ringer on? Okay, that's what I want to know.
I wonder if you know anyone. I wonder if you have any recent evidence that you know someone.
Put it on the buzzer, and we will work it out from there. Okay.
Well,
I don't need a phone to ring ever in my life. I don't need a ding of a text message. I don't need the ping of an email. I don't need a boo 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 ba boo boo ba boo boo ba boo boo ba.
I like having
so that
phone
I can
ring.
Hear a phone ring. No.
I
you know what phone ringing is good
time.
For? It's good for sound effects in a movie, so you know that you're moving on to the next thing.
You know what, though? Here's why you're saying that. Because I used to say the same thing. But that was when I worked in broadcasting, and I was always in and out of studios. When you're in and out of studios like you are, then, you keep your ringer off at all times. Because you don't want to have to remember.
I've had 74 missed calls during this show. You didn't hear one of them. You only had one dumb person call you, and your phone rang. Okay.
It's been quiet here in the home defense sector, though, hasn't it? The perimeter has been pretty quiet.
What happened with the dogs? Are they dead?
No. We just haven't had any intruders.
Oh, okay.
We just haven't had any assassins come over trying to take me out.
Here's my question. Are your kids going to be super glad that you're not doing this radio show at night? Not to hang out with you more, but so that they don't have to tiptoe around the house and act like things are super quiet around the house.
You know, you want to know.
Do they
what
just
for real?
Leave? Do they just leave?
My kids don't care what I do.
I know.
And it's,
my favorite is when kids walk in, they go, "Dad, is your show done yet?" And then your phone's all boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, beep. And you're like, "Oh, hold on. I'm doing a radio show over here, guys. I got to take myself seriously." Cass, this is why the show's going to get canceled.
I know. It's because I can't control myself.
They're like, the review off of the show. While the chemistry between the two hosts is present, Ethan Millard will not turn off his phone, and he has two dogs who are part of the program every evening.
The lack of the lack of professionalism is just too it's just too much.
Plus all the mail commercials during the break. It's fine.
All right. Drop us a text, 57500. We need to know what you learned tonight on the Nightside Project. That's what's up next. What you learned tonight on the Nightside Project. And then we're also going to do a Zen Headlines. So we're going to figure out a way to rescue this show. Help everyone finish their day happy. That's our goal. I think we can do it, Alex. I believe in us.
I'm trying to figure out a way that the school district will now send home all the laptops to my house. We need all the laptops for this year, okay? Stay with us. More to go. The Nightside Project continues, wrapping things up next with What Did You Learn? 57500 is the text number. Tell us what you learned on the program. We only have this segment and three more days of the show for the history of the Nightside Project, assuming that we don't have to save everybody from a pandemic again in the next few years. Stay with us. The Nightside Project continues on KSL News Radio.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.